Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time together. You've tuned me in, by the way, of WIONI 1430 AM or 92.7 FM over in the lower area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you to the broadcast today. Others have tuned me in, by the way, of Greenville, WGLM 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Others are tuning me in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10 o'clock. I welcome you. Some are listening by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Bring your mouse up over where it says Messages from the Lighthouse, and a current media will show up. You click on current media, and the top message is the message for this morning. Whatever way you joined me, I'm just glad to have you being a part of our services together today. My voice is still giving me trouble. We're still working on trying to figure out how to do some exercises and different kinds of things that I thought I'd never have to do. But we're just trying to figure out what all's going on here. And I thank you for bearing with me during this time. The message is the same. The voice is just a little bit different, okay? I need to say thank you to those that helped me with the financial cost of broadcasting. And so first of all, I would like to thank Gloria Spencer. She lives in Orleans. She does it in memory of her husband, Spence. That was his nickname, and I'm just glad for her support. To Bell and Judy Hammond from the Belden area, and to Shiloh Community Church, where I pastored for 50 years, still attend there what services I can. By the way, I give you an invitation to attend the services Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, it starts at 9 o'clock, and then a contemporary service at 10:45. And then we have a campus over in Greenville that's located at the old Calvary Baptist Church, and that's the corner of Grove and LeRae Street, and that service is at 11 o'clock. A big thank you to Kay and Kingsinger. She brought my messages over the other day, and I missed her, but she brought my messages over for the month of March, so we're all set for the month of March. And I don't know about you, but today it's a Wednesday morning that I'm putting the service together, and I really love the warmer weather that we got yesterday. Saw some snow disappear from my driveway, and things are beginning to look a little better, and it just seems to help the spirit to get a little bit of warmer weather than all that cold weather that we've been having. We still need a sponsor for the broadcast. If you're interested, just give me a buzz, and we'll find out if you want to be able to do something like that. I need to say thank you to all of those that are that tuned me in this morning, regardless what direction you tuned me in from. I'm just glad and happy to be able to share with you a message that I've entitled, God Invades Our Doubts Caused by Our Handicaps. Do you realize that all of us have handicaps? Things that kind of hold us back. My voice right now is a little bit of a handicap. And we need to realize that we all deal with things that we wish wasn't there. But I want to tell you, we take those doubts to the Lord Jesus. And you know what? He loves us. And he has mercy and grace for each one of us. And he wants to reach out and touch our lives in a very special way. He's already been reaching towards you. Got a song we're going to begin the service with, which is entitled, Reach Out to Jesus. Reach out to Jesus and find what he has that he wants to offer to each and every one of you. And so we'll play this song, and then I'll come right back, and we'll start the message going and asking the Lord to be pleased to bless us in a very special way. Here we go. God bless you.
Reach out to
Jesus, because he's reaching back to you. I love the simplicity of that song. Are you tired of the load you've been carrying? I think we all get tired of the load we've been carrying. And this load with COVID and all the other things that are happening causes us to have a load a little heavier than we normally would be carrying. And we need to come to him, reach out to Jesus, because he's reaching back to you. He's going to be always there, folks. We just need to cry out to him. And we're going to find that this week, as we look at the message of doubts, that even in the time of your doubt and despair, you need to cry out to him, because he's going to receive you. He's going to listen to you. He's going to answer you. It may take him his time to do, but we realize that God's timing is always right on. He's never ahead of time. He's never behind time. He's always on time. And we need to keep that thought in our mind as we go through some of these long-term difficulties, as I've been putting a name to them. Long-time things. Progress in once you get sick in your 80s, progress is so very slow. But day by day, we're moving forward, and that's exactly what we all need to do. So I just want to remember you, the listening audience. That's why I got up this morning so early. I wasn't quite ready to do my radio. I had a little more work to do on it. So I got up about 5 o'clock this morning and finished up what I needed to have done, and so here I am now at the microphone speaking this message to each and every one of you. And my main concern today is the listening audience. So I want to remember you in prayer. I want to remember any unspoken requests that you might have, that God would just bless and minister to you in a very special way. You're my congregation this morning. Those of you that I see in the supermarket from time to time that tell me you listen in, I'm just so pleased to have people that can tell me that, and then I can put a few faces in front of my mind that has got me tuned in this morning. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father, once again, I'd like to come to you in behalf of the listening audience. Dear Father, we appreciate them so much. Even though I can't see them right now, Father, we realize that you're speaking the message through me to them. And I want to pray for them because I want to have them know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm concerned about the things that are happening in their life. And dear Father, as we bow before you, I praise the ones that may be discouraged, the ones that may be in time of doubt right now. They've got some doubting, and we need to come to you with our doubting. I want to pray for those that may be, as I've met with a family this week that's lost a loved one, that maybe, Father, they're going through a burial time for one of their loved ones. And dear Father, they just feel so lonesome and so lonely. I pray your special blessing to be upon them. I pray for those that's in the hospital, those that's been recovering, those that's in the nursing homes. I ask your special blessing to be upon each one. And then, Father, we realize there's not only physical things that happen to us, but there's spiritual downtimes. So I pray the one that needs encouraging today, that the message of something that is said would be an encouragement to them. Father, we realize also that in this day and age, there's a lot of financial problems. So I pray your special blessing to be upon those that have a need financially, that you would meet that need according to your will. Now, Father, would you go with us? Because we want to remember any unspoken request. I don't need to know what the request is, Father, but the individual that has a request right now, as they focus upon that, and as you focus upon that, dear Father, I pray you do whatever you can do, whatever you're able to do, and you tell us all things are possible with God. So I just pray your divine answer to their unspoken request. Would you minister to them in a special way? And I'll thank you for that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, this idea of having some doubting times, this idea of having handicaps, you know, we all got certain handicaps that we do within our life. I want to take a person that we talked about before and just let you see something from that individual's life that I didn't share as well as I thought I wanted to. Because there's so many things in your life and my life that are step-by-step processes. Have you noticed that? It's step-by-step. We have to take the first step, trusting we'll one day be able to finish it and take the last step. But there's so many things that is step-by-step process. The journey of that kind of thing is very difficult because sometimes we don't take very big steps. Have you noticed when we get older, we take a little shorter steps? I remember one time being in therapy and the young woman that was being my therapy teacher, we went for a little walk down the hallway and she said, "Now, Ken, you need to stretch out your gait." I think I was 82 then. I said, you know, and as you get a little older, the gait don't stretch anymore. We realize that we can't speed it up anymore because that's when it causes a whole lot of difficulty. A couple of weeks I shared about a woman that had an issue of blood and she was causing her a lot of difficulties and problems. And she had spent all of her money on doctors and wasn't getting any better. There's certain stories in the Bible that I use for different teachings because there's different things that come from their life. So I want to go back and pick up this lady again and share a few things with you from her life and to see the step-by-step process. And to also understand that sometimes when we go through handicaps that are physical, they can cause us to have doubts that are spiritual. Doubts that we wonder, especially when you spend all your money and you're not getting any better, but you're getting worse. It's a good time for doubts to come into your life if you're going through a physical problem. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and she was no better, but rather she grew worse. We each need to realize that this is sometimes what she was facing. You know, this issue of blood, way back in the book of Leviticus, God has said when a lady has this issue of blood, she's supposed to stay away from people at that period of time. It was sensed that she was a little bit unclean at that period of time. And this woman had tried everything to get over this problem, because it wasn't just something that happened once a month. It was something that was happening continuously with her. When we think of becoming unraveled in our life, I believe this woman is a good illustration for us to consider what unraveled might be. Her money is all gone. Doctors now won't see her. And she's not doing any better. She's getting worse. And if this problem isn't corrected, she'll have to stay inside. And things are really difficult. It's went from a hard place to a solid rock place. I remember when I was told I needed to have surgery on my knees. I've had both knees replaced. And when I was told that, I said, well, I want to put it off for a little while. And you know I did put it off, and all of a sudden one of them was hurting in such a way that it was keeping me awake at night. I wasn't sleeping as good as I should. And so then I decided, you know, there's hope. If there is hope that the surgery will make to get rid of some pain, I ought to do this. I know the pain, there'll be pain from the surgery, but as I heal from that, it'll get better and maybe get rid of a lot of pain. You know what, folks? I can say this from my heart to anybody that's got knee problems. I just said it to a gentleman the other day. Can only put it off so long. And then, you know what? In my situation, after I had it done, I was thinking I should have done it a lot quicker. I should have done it a lot quicker. Hope, have you noticed the difference that hope makes? Hope is a beautiful thing. Hope gives us a little light in our tunnel of darkness. And we need to realize that the Bible teaches when hope is deferred, when all of a sudden the hope isn't there, it says that makes the heart sick. When there's nothing to look forward to and there's no idea of it getting any better, that's when this woman found herself. She was getting worse and not any better. But you know what it also says? Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But it goes on to say that when a longing or a desire of something that you want to do takes place, it's like a tree of life. It adds new life to your life when you get to do something that you've been wanting to do. You know, I hadn't done any funerals for over a month. And the other day I was called if I would want to do a funeral for a family. And I said, you know, I got to get out of this house. I got to go do something, see what I'm capable of doing. If the family's willing to have me the way my voice is, if they're willing to help me with what energy I have, I would surely love to come and do the service to help them out. And I got to tell you, we've been having a lot of blessings of people bringing food to our house, keeping my sidewalks shoveled and all the other things that they've been doing for us, which has been very special. But I needed to do something for somebody else. I needed to reach out and add something to somebody else's life. And can I tell you, when I went to Ionia to do the funeral service, we didn't go to the cemetery. When I came home, I tell you, I was totally exhausted. But I got to tell you, I felt better. I felt better because I did something. I felt better because I stretched it beyond the feelings that I was having at that period of time. I want you to have that in mind as we go on with this woman for one more thought that I want to get. Hope makes the heart, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And I believe this woman, she had heard something about the Lord Jesus. And when I shared that message a couple of weeks ago, I said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And she heard that Jesus was healing a lot of other people. And she's just sitting there in her home one day, and she's thinking, I believe if I could touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. I believe that. I believe the doctors weren't able to do that, but I believe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I would be healed. And so she decides that's what she's going to do. And then she hears that Jesus is coming her way. Now this woman is in her home, and I can just picture her opening her door, and there is Jesus. But there's a huge crowd of people following behind him and all around him. They are surrounding him. Disciples are walking ahead of him. I got this picture in my mind. There's this huge group of people. And she's not very strong. And she's very tired. When you're losing blood, you're going to be tired. And she was very tired. But I'm so glad she didn't slam the door and say, I guess that was a goofy idea. No, she says, it tells us in the scripture that she started working her way through that crowd. That was the step-by-step decision. She stepped out of her home with step number one, and now she's at the back of the crowd. And little by little, she works her way forward. Little by little, she's getting a little closer to Jesus. Little by little, she can see him a little better than she could before. And I believe in my own heart and in my own mind that when she got on up to where Jesus was and she could see that she could reach him, I believe she was on her hands and knees. And she just reached up and touched the hem of his garment. And the minute she did, she could tell within her body that she was healed. We just listened to that song, reach out and touch Jesus. He's reaching out to you. And he's gone in just a minute. But you know something? She knew she was healed. But Jesus also knew that power had went out of his body. And so all of a sudden he said, who touched me? Who touched me? The disciples talked to him and said, Jesus, is a big crowd. Probably somebody just bumps you. Jesus said, somebody touched me. Somebody has been healed. Somebody has been helped. And all of a sudden, this woman, when she realized she couldn't stay hidden, she came before Jesus and she told him why she touched his garment. And she told him she was healed immediately. I'm so glad she didn't doubt. I'm so glad she worked her way through that crowd. I'm so glad she moved forward instead of just sitting there to die, so to speak. She moved forward. And when she did, she came trembling and fell down before the Lord Jesus. And she gives him the praise, saying, the minute I touched your garment, I was healed. And I got to tell you, I'm so glad that Jesus said, who touched me? Because then he had something else to say to this lady. And he has things to say to you when you and I come to him. And we reach out to him by faith. And something happens in our life. He said, "Who touched me?" And then he said to her, "Daughter." What a beautiful way Jesus expressed. You know what he was saying, calling her daughter? "You're part of my family. You're part of my family. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace." Ah, she had nothing but pain and suffering and agony. And now his words to her, go in peace. Her faith had made her whole. Faith makes a difference, and it did. And that hope that she had had sleepless nights. And now she was walking away in hope. God tells us that when we reach out to him, he will renew our strength. We will fly like an eagle. I see an eagle once in a while. I don't think that I'll ever fly like an eagle. I haven't even flown in one of those big planes. And I guess I don't really plan on flying in one of those big planes. I've been in a small plane, and some people tell me that's worse than the big planes. But nevertheless, you know what God is saying? I'm going to give you strength beyond yourself. Well, that's something that is pretty special. And you know, what it takes is she believed. She believed. I got a song I want us to listen to as I take a little break. This song is saying to us a lot of things that I believe. You know, the Bible gives us a lot of things to believe in him. A lot of things that we can, when we place our faith in what he said, it adds a dimension to our life that is like no other dimension ever given to us. And as we listen to this song, I want us to think about this idea. There's a lot of things for you and I to believe. And in that believing, we can find confidence in God. She heard that Jesus healed. She come now to be healed.
Born of a virgin birth, on a cross he was crucified, he descended into hell, but the third day Jesus rose again, he's alive and all is well. This is what I believe, faith is written on my heart, this is what I believe. In majesty there, I believe he'll come again and meet us in the air. I believe he's in the church to keep us on the way, leading onward in the truth to that great eternal day. This is what I believe, faith is written.
Every promise, every heart.
This is what I believe. I don't know, folks, what all you believe, but I believe the Bible. I believe in this one called Jesus. I believe that God has our best interest at mind and heart. And when God gives promises, I believe he sticks to his promises. And all that belief, as we study the Bible, as we study things that happen in people's lives, I can believe that when you reach out to Jesus, he's reaching back to you. I can believe that he could say to you and I, the same as he said to this woman, your faith has done some things for you. To her, he could say, your faith has made you whole, has healed you. Others, your faith has given to you confidence in God. Others, your faith has given to you assurance that God loves you and that he cares for you. You know, there's a man that was talked about in the Old Testament, some 700 years before he was born. And it was told, when this man comes, he's going to be the forerunner of Jesus. In other words, he's going to be the one that introduces Jesus to society. He's going to be the one that's going to share what the purpose of Jesus is coming for, to show his love and his mercy. This man's name was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came on the scene and he started preaching repentance. And he kept preaching and preaching, and people were responding to his preaching. He said one day about the Lord Jesus, he said, he must increase and I must decrease. The Lord Jesus came to him one day, and he said, the Lord Jesus said to John the Baptist, who was busy baptizing, I need to have you baptize me that I might fulfill the things that are required. And John the Baptist said, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. Can you imagine that? He was given the privilege to baptize the Lord Jesus. And one day as he was baptizing, Jesus was coming down the path along the Jordan River. And he cried out, behold, Jesus, John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He knew who Jesus was. He believed in him. And then one day in his preaching, King Herod had married a woman, and John the Baptist made a statement about that. And this here, King Herod had John put in prison. And when John was in prison, there he is nearing the end of his life, because this man, King Herod, had the power to put him to death. And John said, had a couple of his disciples that was there, and he said, go ask Jesus. Go say this to Jesus for me. Because some doubt was beginning to come into his mind. Go say to Jesus, are you the Messiah, the one that's supposed to come? Or should we look for another? Are you the Messiah? He just has a little bit of doubt. And so the disciples of John come and they say to Jesus, John has a question for you. Are you the Messiah, the one was to come? Or should we look for another? And I love the way Jesus answered, because there's certain things that helps us to overcome this thing called doubt. And it doesn't work the same for each and every one of us. He said, you go tell John, say this to him. Because right as they were coming, Jesus was doing a lot of healing. Go tell John what you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame are able to walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf can hear, the dead are raised to life, and the poor people, they have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is everyone that is not offended because of me. He's saying, you know what? Go tell John that everything he said was to happen is happening right now in people's lives. I believe that was a very good testimony of the way the Lord Jesus was dealing with the doubts of John the Baptist. What you have said is coming true. When you did your job, you did it well. And then after his disciples were gone, Jesus said, when you went out in the wilderness to see, did you just go out and see something just shaken by the wind? It wasn't a man clothed in soft garment. It wasn't. Indeed, those are the ones that come into palaces and so on. He was clothed with camel hair, and he ate wild locusts and honey. You went out to see him. He was a messenger before me. He's preparing the way before me. For now, listen to what Jesus said about John the Baptist. For I say to you, among those that are born of the kingdom of women, there is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. He said he's a prophet, and he's the greatest prophet. But you need to realize, Jesus is saying to the people of his day, he that is least in the kingdom of God, when you do what God wants you to do, you'll be greater than John the Baptist. He's saying that's what God wants us to get a hold of. John came and he did what he was supposed to do. And you know, he cured John the Baptist's doubt that he had by the message that he gave to him. I want us to think about this for a few moments, and I want to kind of explain it as I go along in the next two thoughts. You know, we need to realize, dear people, that God isn't going to be upset when you and I have a little bit of doubt. When this one John was going through this time of difficulty, Jesus was not confused. John, remember your mission? Jesus just said, you go tell John that everything that he said as a prophet is coming to pass. That the Lord Jesus is doing the things that he came to do. Many people are being healed of all different kinds of diseases. The woman that had that blood issue that we talked about at first, she had heard that Jesus was healing. And that was what caused her to believe that if I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed. We never know when a handicap's going to strike us. Something's going to be a little different for us. But you know something, dear people? What Jesus was doing for that woman that came to him, and what Jesus was doing for John the Baptist that came to him through his disciples, Jesus is doing for you, and he's doing for me today. You see, the Lord Jesus died upon that cross. I believe he was resurrected. I believe he ascended to the Father, and he's at the right hand of God the Father right now. And he's there making intercession, praying for you and I. He's there taking our prayers to the Father as our great high priest. And we need to realize that God is saying to us, this one Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he has done for other people, he is able and willing to do for you. And I like one verse in the book of Hebrews. It's in the 4th chapter, verses 14 through 16. Listen to what it says. Since we have a great high priest, this one Jesus, who has passed through the heavens, he's the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. Let us hold on to what we believe about him. Let us hold on even in the times of our doubt. And let us not turn away from him. But let us go to him with our doubt that we have. Let us come to him. Now listen to what it goes on to say. For this high priest that you and I have in heaven, in the person of Jesus, he's touched by our, and he has sympathy for our weaknesses. He's touched by our handicaps. He sees and knows our weakness, and he still loves us. He sees and knows the things we're going through, and he wants us to know, I still love you. I sympathize with you. Why can he do that? You see, the reason he can do that is because he came down here and lived on planet Earth. He was tempted in every way like you and I are. He went through many of the same things that you and I are going through today in our life. And yet he was without sin. And because of what Jesus did, and because he's the one right now seated at the right hand of the Father, you can come to him with confidence that he feels for you, that he knows what you're going through, that he wants to be a help to you as an individual. The Bible tells us in that Hebrews verses, we can come to the throne of grace with confidence that we might receive mercy and that we might find grace to help in our time of need because of Jesus. That's what that woman did. That's what John the Baptist did. That's what others who've ever had doubt did. When reaching out to Jesus, we can find that he really cares for each one of us. Often a little hope comes when we share with someone else something that you're going through. And that person would say to you, I know what you're going through. I had something similar to that. And they tell you something they went through. That makes you feel a little better. You're not the only one that is experiencing this. Others have, and others have made it through that. You know, when we lost our little baby, my wife and I was very young. She would now be probably 61. And you know, every time I did a funeral service for a family that lost a little baby, the minute I would say to them, we lost a little baby. And I'd tell them about our little Dawn being born, and she only lived for 2.5 hours, and she died. And every time I would say that to them, that couple would get some confidence. And why I always would add to it, my wife and I are living proof that you will make it. You will make it, dear people. And that's what God is saying to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus, in a much greater way, because he experienced so much on planet Earth of death, of being disowned, of being misused, being misrepresented, all the things that he went through that can cause you and I to have a handicap. Jesus went through it all. And he did that so you can understand that he feels for you. He sympathizes with you. He knows what you experience. And that's something that he wants you to realize is a little bit of the hope that he has for you. I came across this statement and I really like it. Cry out to Jesus. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the brokenhearted. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing. He will meet us where we are, and he will take us forward. God has promised that through his Son, the Lord Jesus, God has given us many beautiful things. I thought about this idea of doubt. And you know, I was thinking, I really can't share a message about doubt without including another person. If I say to you, one of his disciples that Jesus had was known as doubting, could you fill in who the disciple is? Doubting Thomas. Without a doubt, many of you could fill that in. Doubting Thomas. You know, the Lord Jesus had told after his resurrection, he had told the disciples, you go to Galilee and I'll meet you there. And I'll spend some time with you. And you know, there was a time when the Lord Jesus came. I'm going to share with you in a few moments a time from John, the writer of the book of John. But before I do, I want to share with you a thought from the writer of the book of Luke. Because sometimes what we need to do is we need to take all of those and put them together. The writer of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. See what each one of them had to say on the subject, because each one of them sees the thing just a little differently. And now listen to what it tells us. It happened one time when Jesus was coming there to Galilee to see the disciples. It's recorded in Luke 24, verse 36 through 40. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself, he stood in the midst of them. And he said to them, peace to you, peace to you. Man, those disciples, when Jesus disappeared, he just appeared in the room with them. They were pretty shaky. And the first words out of the mouth of Jesus is peace to you. God's message to us in a time of difficulty, in times when we don't understand, is peace. But the Bible tells us they were terrified and they were frightened. And they supposed that he was a spirit, a ghost, so to speak. And he said to them, why are you troubled? I told you to wait here for me. Why are you troubled? Behold my hands and my feet, that is, I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones. You will see I have. And when he said this, he showed to them his hands and his feet. That's pretty special. That was a time when it was recorded for us in the book of John that this man by the name of Thomas was absent. So the disciples came to Thomas after they experienced that experience. He was called the twin, one of the 12. He was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I can see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Jesus said that. I mean, that's what he said. And after 8 days, he gave him some time to live with that. I will not believe. I think he thought of it many different times. And then after 8 days, Jesus come to the disciples again. And this time Thomas was there. And as soon as Jesus had came into the room, and he said the same thing, peace be to you. And I think he was saying that not only to all the other disciples, I think he was really saying that especially to Thomas. Thomas had spent 8 days saying, I will not believe unless I can do this. And you know something, folks? Jesus looked at Thomas. He said, Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side where I was wounded. Now listen to what he says. And be not unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, oh, my Lord and my God. And he bowed down before him. And Jesus said, Thomas, you're blessed because you've seen and believed. But more blessed are they that do not see, and yet they believe. You and I need to realize he was talking about us. We've never seen Jesus, but we love him. We've never seen Jesus, but we believe in him. He says, blessed are they. Thomas, you had to see to believe. And you need to realize that the believing was an important part of it. That believing was what they needed to do. And Jesus is reminding us, you're blessed when you understand that Jesus loves you. And by his wounds, you are healed. As I close the service today, I want to give you one thing that I believe every single one of us needs to do. And that one thing that we need to do is when we have little times of doubt, and you shall have, when you have little times of doubt, there was a man that came to Jesus and he had a son that needed to be helped. And the disciples couldn't seem to help him. And then Jesus came and Jesus helped him. And he said to this man, if you believe, all things are possible. When you believe, all things are possible. And what that man said, I have said many times in my life, when there's just a little bit of smizzen, of doubt, when there's a little bit of idea that, do you really believe this? That man said, Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? That's a song I want us to listen to in closing. Lord, I believe. Would you help my unbelief? When you got times of doubt, ask the Lord to help you to believe. Because in believing, everything is possible. God bless you. Have a good week.
I believe. Help thou my unbelief. I take the finite risk of trusting like a child. I believe. Help thou my I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. I long so much to feel the warmth that others seem to know. But should I never feel a thing, I claim him even so. I believe, help thou my unbelief. I walk into the unknown, trusting all the while. I walk into the unknown.